بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Many a times the thought passes our minds that what is the real thing that is to be achieved and aspired for at the service of the Mashaykh Buzurgan al-Din and Awliya-i Kiram. So there are several things that people come, several people have several different types of mindsets, and they come with these mindsets. Sometimes they feel disappointed that what we had come with, we didn't see that. So it is important that our mindset is right, what mindset we come with, what is to be achieved, what is to be desired, what is to be aspired for, and what strive has to be made. Sometimes people come with the intention of seeing something that is supernatural, something that is against the norm. So this is not the place to get these things. Sometimes people come with the intention that we'll read a little bit more namazes. This is also good, but this is not the actual reason. Namaz one can read himself as well. Any other act of ibadat, he can acquire himself. What is the real thing and what is the real purpose coming out in the company of these Buzurgan al-Din and these Mashaykh? So people word it differently, but the crux and the essence is one and the same, and that is true Islam, true submission. Ibrahim alayhi salam was raising the walls of the Kaaba Sharif, and the dua that they were making, Rabbana taqabbal minna and Rabbana waj'alna muslimayni laka. Allah Ta'ala, accept this of us. So there are two primary things, two things that are to be achieved. One is acceptance. Now acceptance is such a great thing that if one knows that his deed has been accepted, then there isn't anything else that he is concerned about. I'm accepted now, then alhamdulillah, I've gained the access, I've got the license, I've got the passport. You want to become a citizen of Saudi Arabia, for example, right? And you got the passport already in your hand. Do you have a concern after that? No concern now. Now I've got my passport and I know, inshallah, I'll be able to settle there. So it's like a license. Acceptance is a license. You want to go somewhere, you want to do something, and you want something to be done. So the other name for acceptance is license. You've got the license. You've got it now. There's nothing to be concerned about. You've got it. So this is the primary thing that you are working for, and that is acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, then the question will be that how do you get this acceptance? If you say that acceptance is the primary thing, it is the target, then how do you acquire this acceptance? Whether one is in the madrasa, in the khanqa, in the jamaat, in jihad, wherever he is, but what he is looking for acceptance. Otherwise, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be people that were in these fields and they won't be accepted, rather they will be rejected. Popular hadith that we all hear of, strive, but still, he was an alim, but still didn't work out for him. So what is then the element, or what is the precondition for this acceptance? How do you get to this acceptance? There is a Quran, there is a story in the Quran Sharif. The children of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil, they had a dispute, or whatever reason it was, based upon some jealousy, one became envious over the other, one became jealous over the other. And this happens in this life, then one, when one is favored a little bit more than the other, then one becomes jealous. And then the jealousy doesn't have to be only in wealth. We feel the jealousy is only confined to wealth. No, sometimes it is in wealth, sometimes it is in profession, sometimes it is in ilm, sometimes it is in popularity. Someone becomes more popular, so you become jealous over the person. Someone is more liked by people generally, then you become jealous over the person. Someone is wealthier, you become jealous over the person. Right? So this jealousy is a root of many sins. When one is obsessed with jealousy, then he will backbite the person, he will slander the person. For what reason? For the simple reason, why is he more accepted, why is he more liked? So somehow try and run him down, try and push him down. People speak more about him, so somehow I must get at him, I must push him down. And it will happen generally, it will happen with people in the same profession. A hafizab will feel jealous of a hafizab, a qari sahab of a qari sahab, an alim over an alim, a mufti sahab over a mufti sahab, or an accountant over an accountant, people of the same profession. And generally when they are contemporaries, then they will have some feeling, some jealousy over the other. People of the same profession, same business, you've got a coke depot, for example, and the other person also has got a coke depot, so you become jealous over that person. So when people are sharing or they are in the same business, then you become jealous. Then when you become jealous at his progress, then you want to push him down. You want to run him down and you want to speak about his weaknesses, that people may know about his weaknesses. And then in your mind you will feel when people hear and know and learn about his weaknesses, then they will not respect him. He won't have the acceptance that people generally talk about. So for example, you'll say, oh, this person is Mulana, and he's so popular, he's coming on the air and all that. So you know what? You don't know him. In his student days, what do you know what he was like? I know he used to be wetting the bed also. And I know, you know, in the student days, the Ustad used to make him make wood bed. And he used to be standing outside in the class. What are you talking about? So what is the idea? The idea is to run him down, to push him down. So you're giving vent to your jealousy, but through what? Through slandering him, through defaming him, through disgracing him, through ghibat. So what's the very catalyst? The catalyst is jealousy. Jealousy has become the muharrik, it's become the catalyst for you to speak against that person. So you see this recognition, this love for recognition, love for supremacy, that you must be superior, you must be a little bit more well-known and respected than the other person. This is the cornerstone of insan's obstruction on the way. This is it. You want it, that recognition, that popularity, that acceptance that is generally known amongst people. Why has he got it? Why don't I have it? And when he's got it, then you want to run him down somehow. So one of the main obstructions, the blockage in this way is this thing here, this recognition. One of the main reasons for this obstruction. Why has he got it? Why don't I have it? And when he's got it now, then let me try and stop him. Let me try and suppress him. Let me push him down somehow. Somehow there, let me push him down. I remember some years ago, we had a carpenter coming to the house. So we showed him that this is how we want this to be designed. We had one old cupboard, and we showed him more or less. So he went straight for that old cupboard. So these are the flaws in that old cupboard. The carpenter did this wrong. Now I made it out exactly now what is his mindset. He wants to show that he is superior than that old carpenter. Pointing out that person's mistake, he feels he will claim some type of supremacy for himself, some type of superiority for himself. So now this is in man's tabiat, that jealousy, that recognition, that fight, that struggle to come in front, that is in his tabiat. Okay. So we'll go anyway. We'll go any lengths to try and push that person down. And in business also, you'll find this. Don't you see in this day and time, aggressive nature of business. Very, very aggressive. What is mine's is mine's. What is yours also is mine's. That's the whole mindset. What is mine's is mine's. And what is yours also is mine's. So you will try and pull away his clientele. You will try and corner the business. You will have the sole rights for that. Whatever article that is being sold in the public, you will have the sole rights. So you will try 101 different ways to somehow suppress that person. Somehow suppress that person. So these new styles that have come, these innovative styles that have come now in the business world, really, it's got nothing to do with the Islamic ethos of business. Islamic ethos of business is different, totally different. Islamic ethos for business is live and let live. I must live also, let my parosi and my neighbor live also. I must make a livelihood and he must make a livelihood as well. That's the ethos. Two incidents come to my mind. One person went out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Path of Allah Ta'ala can mean khanqah, can mean jamaat, whichever. But these are all path of Allah Ta'ala, meaning they are going out for their self-reformation. So that's the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Anybody goes to correct himself, bring him closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, learn how to come closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Whether he goes in the madrasa, whether he goes in the jamaat, whether he goes in the khanqah, all part of Allah Ta'ala. So he went out, spent some time, and he returned. He's a jeweler in Medina Munawwara, and you may have seen right in front of the haram is those mujawharat shops, you know, the jewelers. So he had one shop there. He came back, and he collected his sons together, and he tells them, see, amongst the things that I've learned whilst I was out, is zin warjah, that when you are weighing and you are scaling, then you must see you give a little bit more. Tip the scale, give a little bit more than what is required of you. Don't be amongst the mutaffifin. Mutaffifin is that person, إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُومْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. That you will ensure that you take your full right. You will take your full right. The full pound of flesh, you will take it away. But you aren't so concerned about giving when you need to give. You aren't sure, you aren't concerned about giving full. You're receiving full measure. But giving full measure, you're not concerned about it. Now this giving and receiving of full measure, one is the receiving and one is the giving. It doesn't only apply to buying and selling. It applies to all dimensions of life. You are a worker somewhere. In whichever capacity you are a worker, you are employed, right? So you ensure that you are giving all the hours that are required of you. If it's 7 hours that is required of you, you're giving full 7 hours. So you're so sure, you're so particular that I'm being rewarded 700 rands for 7 hours. I'm remunerated 700 rands for 7 hours. So I must see and ensure that I'm giving in that full. I'm not taking one minute away from them. That means I'm stealing. That's 1 rand. I'm stealing from them. So that will amount to me stealing. I'll become under that line, that category of a mutaffif. I'll be amongst the mutaffifin. So I need to ensure that I'm giving all the time. And the time means the time that is stipulated. The business told me, come from 7 o'clock to 2 o'clock, 7 hours you must complete. So I come from 7 o'clock to 2 o'clock. That's the time that is stipulated. That's an agreed time. Now, I don't make my own calculations. Well, 7 o'clock to 2 o'clock, they told me. So let me go at 9 o'clock, and then I'll pull till 4 o'clock. No. What was the time that was stipulated? That is the time that he purchased from you, and you sold to him. You sold, and he bought. So that bought time, I must give that time. I don't make my own calculations afterwards. So then this applies to everything. In our madaris, the ulama-i kiram and Busulganuddin, they were so particular that even 1 minute, if they were short, or it was that they were teaching and someone came to ask something that was not related to the lesson, so they would make a note of that time. 5 minutes were taken, and this 5 minutes was something against what we were employed for. We were employed for this reason, and this 5 minutes was taken for some other reason. So I need to make a hisab for this, and I need to pay the madrasa back for that. You see that? Anything, small or big, I've been employed for this. What did they employ me for? Now we want to know why isn't there barakat. So are we falling under the category of a mutaffif or not? Are we true? Allah Pak likes truth. He likes honesty. So are we falling under that category or not? And what we are looking at is abundance. Allah Ta'ala is looking at purity, and we are looking at abundance. No, I'll make this move and I'll get so much. I'll make this move and I'll get so much. But what Allah Ta'ala is looking at is, what is the level of the purity? Whether it's your business, whether it's your deeds, but what is the level? It's not the abundance that counts. It is the quality that counts. By us also, we don't want abundance, but we want quality. If someone gives you a whole bag of rotten tomatoes, right? A whole bag of rotten tomatoes, 7,000 tons of rotten tomatoes he gave you, and one person gave you just half a ton of good quality tomatoes, what will you take? That 7,000 tons means nothing to you, it's rotten. So the deed that is contaminated is like rotten, finish. So what counts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purity. Whether it's in your business, whether it's in any other deal, but it is that purity that counts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, sometimes you are the worker, you are the employee, and sometimes you are the boss, you are the employer. They also, I'm sure that I'm taking 7 hours, I'm not pushing him for anything more. What he's been employed for, then I'm just taking that amount of work. I'm not aggressive. I'm not aggressive in my ways. Now, an aggressive person that is aggressive in his business, whatever, well, he employed him, for example, to do a certain piece of work. Example, he's a guard in the shop. So he's employed by the security company to act as a guard. I'm paying him. Now, for that day, perhaps there wasn't much work. The security didn't have any work. But he's employed for what? He's employed for security reasons. Now you had a truck to offload, you try and write, offload the truck. Do this type of work here. Is that right? No, it's against honesty. He's been employed for something else. And you taking some other work from him. Is that right? Is that honesty? Is that truth? No. Again, you are coming under the categories of mutaffif. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. What was agreed upon and what are you doing? You agreed on something else and you're doing something else. Not right. Then again, your rosy, your sustenance, all is becoming polluted, is becoming contaminated, is getting mixed up. In our health, we are so particular. So this food is contaminated, throw it away, I don't want it. No, it's worth 1,000, no, I don't want it. 10,000, I don't want it, it's contaminated. There's some pollution in it. There's some trouble in this food here, throw it away, I don't want it. So, as far as barakat and as far as goodness is concerned, if that is contaminated, then it is all the more reason that we throw it away. All the more reason. I've got something, no, but it's contaminated. There's a percentage of haram in this. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this. He doesn't like it. And Allah Ta'ala only takes that which is pak. You're going to use it on yourself, you will find bad coming out of it. You're going to spend it on your children, you won't find any good coming out there. You're spending it out in charity, and that is being rejected as well. You're leaving it back for your heirs, then it's creating problems for them as well. So all around it's creating problems. Whether using it on yourself, using it on your children, whether you're giving out in charity, or you're leaving it for your heirs, all around it's creating problems for you. So what's the use of keeping this type of wealth? What's the use of earning this type of wealth? So this mutaffif is that person who goes against that original condition. This was the condition. 7 hours, so he's giving that 7 hours. So I'm sure that I'm only taking 7 hours. In fact, in the light of this hadith, zin warja, weigh and tip the scale, give a little bit more. So the employer must say, all right, no mind, you work 5 minutes, 10 minutes less, so that I know I'm on the safe side. And that worker must think, no, let me work 5 minutes more. See, let me work 5 minutes more, so I know I'm on the safe side. But the situation today is, every person learns his section of the Quran Sharif. He learns his section of the Quran Sharif. The wealthy learns that section of the Quran Sharif, Atu Zaka, La Yas'aluna An-Nasa Ilhafa. The wealthy learns that section of the Quran, La Yas'aluna An-Nasa Ilhafa. When the beggar or the person is in need and he comes out for assistance, he says, no, the Quran Sharif says, you mustn't go around begging and all that. You mustn't go around begging. What's wrong with you? So he learned his section of the Quran Sharif. And he appointed himself to make tabligh to all these poor people. I must make tabligh to all these people. They're begging them. I need to make tabligh for them. And the poor person learned his section of the Quran Sharif. When he comes to the wealthy, you don't know the Quran Sharif says, Atu Zakah, must give out Zakah. Must give out Zakah. Ati dal qurba haqqo, must give them their rights. So he appointed himself to make tabligh to the wealthy. The wealthy made it a point to make tabligh to the poor. And the poor made it a point to make tabligh to the wealthy. See? So these sections of the Quran Sharif, they learned very well as a convenience model. So when you're talking of zin wa rajah, way and gift a little bit more, slightly more. So it applies to both. We're talking about ulama this morning and how should they conduct themselves. So that is for that alim, how he must conduct himself. He must be sure that there is no feelings of commercialism in him. He mustn't commercialize this work. Right? But now that is the alim. But as far as the common person, he must look at it differently. He must look at it like this. Hazrat Sufyan Sauri rahmatullahi used to receive approximately 1,000 dirhams from Yahya Barmaki every month. Yahya Barmaki passed away and someone saw him in the dream, asked him, how does it fare with you? So he says that Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven me and granted me Jannat. How did that come about? He says, no. I used to give 1,000 dirhams to Sufyan Sauri. He's a great leading alim, muhaddis, faqih, everything. In one zamana, he was an imam as well. Like how you have the four imams, Sufyan Sauri was also an imam. So Yahya Barmaki says that I used to give him 1,000 dirhams. And Sufyan Sauri used to make dua for me in the state of sajda, that as Yahya Barmaki has improved my dunya, O Allah Ta'ala, you improve his akhirat. You see, so the alim, he mustn't be commercialized. He mustn't look towards worldly gifts and favors, etc. And the public, how they must look. So each must look according to what is required of him. One person came to Nizamuddin when Arab came those days, 60s, when the Arabs just started flowing in, you know. So they encouraging him to go on eating. Now these Arabs are very simple people, but they're very straight as well, very, very straight. Very straight and very clear. So he's holding his head. In the Jama'ah they told me you mustn't eat too much, must one third for the food, one third for liquid, one third for water, etc. And one third for air. And now here on the dastarkhan, they ask me, Sheikh eat. Cool, eat. Here on one side they're asking me, I must eat one third according to the hadith, and drink one third and one third for air. And here they're insisting, they're encouraging me to eat, go on eating. Now how do you fit this story together? So then they explain to him, you see, the duty of the host is to ensure that the guest eats well. That's his duty. But the duty of the guest is to see that this is how he must eat. So he must do his duty. The wealthy must look, now this is my duty. I need to see that I give this money away and I do it like this. And the poor must see that, well, this is my duty and I need to see that I am playing my role as well. He'll play his role and he will accomplish his duty. This person will accomplish his duty. But if they reverse the roles, the poor begins to make tabligh and waaz to the wealthy, and the wealthy begins to make waaz and tabligh to the poor, then obviously they're swapping the roles. They're swapping the roles. They're going wrong. See? So this tatfif and mutafif doesn't only apply to one category, weighing and measuring. No, it applies to a whole host of things. Umar radiallahu anhu had seen someone not doing his ruku and sajda correctly. So he says, tafafta fi salatik. that you are guilty of the thief. You're doing it short. You're supposed to be doing it like this, but you're doing it short. So in the namaz, he's not doing the postures correctly, and he's guilty of the thief as well. So we speak about business, and we speak about the aggressive nature that people have in this day and time, and it is not in keeping with Islamic ethos. So I was explaining that person in Medina Munawwara, and he's got a jewelry shop. Right? So he comes back after he spent some time. Now he gets his sons together. That what I've learned amongst the things that I've learned is when I scale and I measure, I must give slightly more. So the children tell the father, Abba, you know what, you're not scaling cabbages and tomatoes here. You're scaling gold and silver. That 1 gram also counts. So the father's answer was, I understand, my dear sons, but this is also the wording of not myself. I may be a tomato. So it's not my word, it's the word of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now they got no answer for that. So all right, if it's the word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he will give. Man had one shop, now he's got about 20 shops, and he's calculating approximately monthly after practicing that zin warjah, giving more, approximately, he's giving about almost 1 kilo of gold in excess every month. But his businesses have flourished from one shop to 20 shops. So, dene wali zat Allah ta'ala ki hai. Baki, our duty is to follow the hadith. And we believe in the unseen. Don't you believe? Yu'minuna bil ghaib. We believe in the unseen. You do it like how Allah Pak told you. You do it like how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has instructed you. And Allah Ta'ala will do the rest for you. You have followed the system. You have done what He has told you to do. And then leave it to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Assign the affair to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will make the rest of it work. So we are getting to this topic that what we are out here for. And I explained about the aspect of acceptance, you know. And then what is the key to acceptance? What is the key to acceptance? And then I digress and I just showed an example of tathfif, that you be fair, you be honest in everything. And then I explained that the essence, the very root of the destruction is jealousy and pride. Now, I want to be superior, I want to be more well known, I want to be more popular, more recognized. And in that fight for that recognition, I'll do anything. I must be more powerful business. I must be more influential in my circles. So in being more influential, being a stronger businessman, being a better influential person, I will do that. Anything what needs to be done, I will do it. Whether it is robbing, cheating, speaking a lie, being aggressive, pushing that person down, not being concerned about him, I'm not concerned. All the wrong practices I'll be doing, I will mix up things. Though sometimes it may be even permissible, but I'll mix up things. You get a situation, man's first cousin, he's in constraints, he's in difficulties. It is his first cousin, and he's in constraints, he's in difficulties. He's earning 3,000-4,000 rands, right? Very good. That is what he deserves, so he's earning the 3,000-4,000 rands. Man is very wealthy, he's doing a lot of charitable works locally and abroad. But now, the first cousin comes up to him, and say, see, my motor car has got a problem, you know, and can't you lend me something, and I'll pay you monthly, slowly, I'll pay you. So the only thing he's got, the only freehold property he's got a house. So the man has got a cheek to tell him, why don't you sell your house and go live in the flat, you'll get money and you can buy your car. Whereas it is your own, it's your blood, it's your kith and kin, the charity starts off there. The charity and that kindness starts off there. No, but I can spend everywhere else, but I can't spend on my own. It would have only cost me about 10,000 for him to fix the car, and this person would have paid him over a year. But no, he don't want to do that. He wants to see that cousin of his going right to the gutters. If he is down, then he must push him even more down. Now this is ruthless, aggressive. That is the nature of the business that we are running. And then we are talking of acceptance, going for Umrah, Hajj, etc. How are you going to get that acceptance? I will tell you in that situation, anybody will tell you, that is going to be more, much more rewarding for you to assist that cousin of yours, get a little bit more money, make a little bit less umrah, but assisting that cousin of yours is going to be much more rewarding. Not rewarding, but much more rewarding. We don't understand priority. We don't understand how to give it well, give it right, to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just figures that is in our mind. I did so much umrah, I did so much this, I did so much this. But what was the quality in it? Is there any quality in it? Allah Pak looks for quality. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. I want to see whose deeds are better, not whose deeds are more. The Quran Sharif didn't say أَكْثَرَ عَمَلًا. The Quran Sharif says أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Whose deeds are better? In his business he's better. He's a better Muslim. When he's charity, then he's better. You can see the betterness in him. When he talks, you can see he's a better person. In his conduct, he's better. In his behavior, he's better. In everything, all round, he's a better person. So that finish can be seen in him very clearly. In his ways, in his conduct, in his business, in his interaction with people, whether it is his private life, whether it is his public life, but he's a better person. Allah Pak likes to see this. This goodness Allah Pak wants to see. How's that tongue of his? How's that eyes of his? How's that ears of his? You're going to die, the farishta is going to scan it out. Really, they scan your tongue also. They scan your tongue, they scan your eyes, they scan your ears. What wrongs were there? They can make it out. Whatever machine, whatever device Allah Pak has given them, that make it out. So this person has got so many wrongs in his tongue, so many wrongs in his eyes, so many wrongs in his ears, they make it out. Like the doctor can pull out with the scanning machine that this is the problem on your tongue, this is the problem on your eye. They can see the physical problems. These malaika, whatever device Allah Pak has blessed them with, they can see what's the problem in the ears, in the tongue they can see it. So what is then the key to taqwa? I said taqwa is the route to acceptance. But then you say acceptance, and the key to acceptance is taqwa, right? Key to acceptance is taqwa. Then I branched off and explained about the story of the sons of Adam alayhi salam, and that story conveys to us one message, is this pride and jealousy. That was the key to destruction for the child of Adam, and that will be the key to destruction for his progeny as well. Pride and then jealousy. Pride and jealousy. So this wiser brother, he advises his unwise brother. The wiser brother advises the unwise brother. He tells him, you see, that you want this more recognition, you want a little bit more pride, popular, and you are jealous, therefore you want to kill me, because I am favored a little bit more than you. I've got a little bit more than what you have got, so you become jealous, you become proud. So you want to kill me, you want to put an end to me. So remember, putting an end to me will not bring you any progress, will not make you any better. You want to kill me, it's alright, all the means, you can do it. You want to assault me and you want to kill me, you may do so. I'm not going to retaliate, I'm not going to defend myself. You see, when there is a dispute between Muslims, then the better thing is not to retaliate, to catch the hiding, it's alright. You see that these two children are fighting, two sons are fighting, and what's the better thing? The better thing is then don't defend. Take the hiding, it's alright. Some Muslim is giving you hiding, take it, finish, forget it. Ma ana bibasiti yadi ilayka liyaqtulak. Although it's permissible to retaliate, come to your self-defense, it's permissible. But keep quiet, don't defend, that's better. Right. And he says, why I'm doing this? I'm not going to defend myself. You're going to kill me, you're going to hurt me, then you're going to be loaded with my sin. And you will be dumped in Jahannam thereafter. But listen, my brother. Listen to me, my brother. Before you kill me, I'll give you the recipe and prescription for salvation, for prosperity. You want prosperity of this world and the next, I'll give you the prescription so that you don't have a complaint against me as a brother that you didn't give me the prescription to salvation and prosperity. I'll give you the prescription also, I'll give it to you. So that on my side, I'm honest, I'm clear, I'm truthful, I did what a brother is supposed to be doing. I have showed you the prescription, I have showed you the recipe, After that, then it's your duty, it's your business. I can't do anything beyond this. So he says the prescription, the key for prosperity and success and salvation, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. You want acceptance. Right? You want acceptance. Then Allah Ta'ala accepts the deeds of the muttaqi. You want acceptance, then you will gain that acceptance through taqwa. You apply the taqwa, you will be successful. You will prosper. And I apply the taqwa, I will be successful, I will prosper. So the bottom line is taqwa. Right? Whoever applies it, it's not the person, it is the application. You apply this prescription, you apply this model, you apply this secret that I am giving you, you are prosperous, you will take it. I apply it, I will take it. If both of us apply it, both of us will take it. And both of us don't apply it, both of us won't get it. So the whole secret, behind this salvation and prosperity is taqwa. Now then, I explain, you are looking out for acceptance here. When you're coming here, you're looking for acceptance. Alright? Then I gave you the catalyst, I gave you the reason for acceptance. Acceptance reason is taqwa. And then what is taqwa? Just in a nutshell, to explain what is taqwa, is that concern, that fikr, constant concern. I am doing a business dealing, right? I'm in the shop. I'm doing a business dealing. There is a woman that is out there, young, smart looking, attractive, and she seems that she'll be very easy if I flirt a little bit with her, you know. But at that time, precisely at that time, I got the concern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to talk one word more. If I can help it, I'll get someone else to serve and attend to her. And if I'm forced to attend to her, then I'll just make it brief, won't look at her, just finish it up and go. I've got that concern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my mind. Got that concern in my mind. I am owing that creditor 5 cents. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I've got that concern. No, I haven't made a note of this. 5 cents I'm owing him, but I haven't made a note of it. That work of mine, I've been a little bit harsh to him. I've been a little bit aggressive to him. I told him what I was not supposed to tell him. All right, it was wrong. But I overdid my mark as well. I told him more than what I was supposed to tell him. Now, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, I just got up and this thing flashed in my mind. I made a note of it. The first thing in the morning, I went and sorted these things out. Now, this is concern. Whether it is a dealing, whether it is conducting, whether it is interaction. But I've got a concern. I have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahum mulaqu rabbihim. You're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to answer you. He's going to question you about all these things. You're going to be questionable. You're answerable for all these things here. So do you have that concern? Now that taqwa is not something only confined to the madrasa. No, sawab and progress is not confined here. In your business, you can become a jannati. In your profession, you can be doing that profession. Ma'an nabiyyin wa siddiqeen. But the way you're conducting yourself, you can be raised up amongst the anbiya and the siddiqeen. How you conduct yourself and what is the level of your taqwa. In the business, you're enjoying it, but you are being resurrected with them. So what Allah Ta'ala looks is the quality. You're in the business, but what is the quality? You're fair, you're honest, you're truthful, you're good, you're wishing well, you're considerate in your ways, or you're aggressive in your style, you're impolite, you're couth, you're rude, you're ill-mannered. How are you? You are in your business and you're coming up on the day of Qiyamah, you're coming with the Anbiya. And you're in the madrasa, and you're doing it wrong, and there, unfortunately, you're going in the wrong way. So it's that conduct, that finish on the conduct, the ways, the interaction, the dealings. And what is the way? What is the fine-tuning? What is the finish? And how well are you doing it? Are you doing it with beauty? Are you doing it with goodness? Are you doing it with a good feeling, with the cleanliness of the heart, or you're doing it with some grudgy feeling, or you're being inconsiderate, you're taking advantage over the person. What are you doing? Allah Pak knows all this. What you're doing in your heart, in your mind, you may be thinking, I got the garak. You may think, I got the garak, see, I did it. But no, really, you spoiled things. You messed up things. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasib Kareem.